town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
Hi guys.
Let's go.
Are you wearing the same? No. I thought you it was matching.
Oh, hat. Like hat and shirt.
Yeah, do people do that anymore?
I don't know why you wouldn't.
You don't normally wear farm focused. Andy, do you wear Husker?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
So it's okay for a sports, but maybe not basic. Like a like a business.
I have a my wife's sister. So who's that to me? A sister-in-law?
Yeah, that would be your sister-in-law.
She's big on fashion faux pas.
Okay.
So like I can't be wearing Nike shoes and have on a Reebok shirt and a Puma hat.
But my daughter's told me you can wear two brands.
Oh, now it's moved to two.
That's okay, but okay. Like when you throw in like Puma, Reebok, Nike, that's too much.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that I'm living in the past. I don't know. How would I know?
Yeah.
But you're all on trend. Guys, his hat says blue or support blue collar.
Mm-hmm.
And then your shirt, that's a good one.
Yeah. I didn't really think about that. I just grabbed some stuff off the shelf. And
you really are matching.
It's 50 cal, right? Thinks.
Yeah.
40 cal. Sorry, not 50.
Yep. I got dressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not really. Yeah. I'm just, here I am. Yep. It's go time.
Yeah.
I am excited about what we got coming up next. You know, month or so,
yeah,
the episodes that we got lined up.
We got a big week planned.
We're
big
going on
week,
tour.
Weekend.
Yes, should we call it tour?
Yeah, I like that. Well, we've been talking about it, and we've done it before on a certain scale where we take the show on the road.
Yeah, I think that's better. On the road.
Yep. And I think this time is going to be a more true picture of that because we're going to be in multiple locations talking to very different people from different walks of life and this and that. Our Handle Bend guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, got them on the docket.
Yes. Oh my gosh, how many times have we said we're going to go see them? Yeah.
Folks who have been listening to the podcast since the beginning are familiar with Handle Bend, so that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Get to meet them.
Yep.
See what they're all about.
Yep, going to the Irish capital of Nebraska.
There you go.
O'Neill. Yeah.
We're heading out. We got about, 3-4 hour travel time to get out there.
Yep.
Spend a couple of days. To reference a podcast we had a few ago up in Crofton with Heidi.
Yep, Heidi Marsh. Yep. She's fun.
The Crofton Dam Race. Yeah, she's all jacked up. She's ready to go.
Yeah, we're going to have some beers after that race, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a few. We're going to go up there, stay at your place, and also where your parents are, stay at the cabin out there, and then also stay at the state park.
Yep.
Go participate in the Crofton Dam Race, which is going to be fun.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if that's going to be fun, but it's going to be fun for Morgan.
Oh, stop. You're going to have fun.
It'll be fun. I'm just messing around.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. Yep. The triathlon.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So looking forward to that. So folks need to dial in after this too, because we'll recap that. And then obviously all the people we're meeting with.
I'll tell you what, Heidi Marsh, she's a lot of energy, a lot of fun, big smile. She's a great salesperson, you know, and that's why we're doing this, right?
She got us to do the race.
We're doing it. I mean,
you don't have to sell me on much, but Ben, I listened to that podcast back twice and he fully committed on air. I was
because you were pressuring me.
Not even close. On the video, my face was like, did you even seriously just commit to that? Yeah. You're like, I'll do that. I'm like, are you? What happened? Something came over him.
I was feeling the pressure.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I didn't have to sell it much to Ashley either. She hopped right on board, got a new bike, and she's done 15 miles now in a day. Like she's been training, so she's ready for her part of the triathlon.
Good.
Yeah. Well, she's much more ready than I am.
You're ready. Well, what is today's little topic? Is it little or is it big?
I think it's a big one. I think it goes right in hand with kind of what we've been talking about recently, but
kind of the current state of affairs.
Yeah. So I help out a lot on the content that gets broadcast over our YouTube channel at News Channel Nebraska, and kind of a standalone feature or a story done by our political guru, you know, guy that's been around for a long time, Joe Jordan. And he's worked for KETV. I think he even worked for WWT for a while. But he's been with
us. His face looked familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He's been around, and he's great at what he does. But a new study came out of the University of Nebraska and others on why politicians lie. Why do they even say things when they know that they can get, you know, like, yeah, you're going to get caught.
Right.
You know, when you say something outrageous that you know is 180 degrees off, and that's going to be put on the internet, mm-hmm, we can always just go back to, mm-hmm, it.
Everyone's recording everything.
Yeah.
Like,
so, and that, I think that kind of spurred the interest, like, why do these politicians get up on their soapbox and say these things knowing that they're going to get found out, knowing that they've already done the opposite, and it's just a matter of time before the truth is kind of brought into light. So this study is called On the Defensive, Identity, Language, and Partisan Reactions to Political Scandal.
Oh, that's such a big name.
And so I'm like, this is too good. So I chopped it up and made it its own story and put it out on YouTube, on our platform, just because I was just fascinated with the whole thing. And I don't know, you guys just watched it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you got the interview from Pierce D. Ekstrom. He has a PhD, and he's a assistant director of political sciences or something like that at the University of Nebraska. And he got together with four other esteemed colleagues, and we'll mention them too. This is too good. to dive into just a mind-bending conundrum. Why do politicians lie?
I mean, who would have thought? I didn't even think that was a thing. They were so truthful.
Mm-hmm. You're joking right now, but I mean, I don't know. I hear it and I'm like, okay, obviously these people are lying all the time. Like we hear it all the time. We see, mm-hmm, it. I feel like two things. One, I feel like there's a big difference between national level politicians and local level politicians.
Like, mm-hmm, what? What do you mean?
So like,
the lies get bigger?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And I think with some of the things that you're going to talk about, we'll paint that picture as to why the lies get bigger. But it's like when I think about voting, you, mm-hmm, know, when I talk to like some of my friends about this and I'm like, I don't want to freaking vote, man. And they're like, what do you mean you don't want to vote? You're an American, you know, blah, blah. And I'm like, because there's nobody worth a shit to vote for. I don't feel good about any of those votes.
Okay. Yeah.
But at the local level, on that same voting card, mm-hmm, there are some folks that I would feel good about voting for on the local level.
Right.
You know, so like I just kind of see this differentiation between like these local level, smaller time,
yeah,
politicians and then these big time career politicians.
Right.
You know, at the national level.
But I think where this study is like kind of diving into it is like, well, both candidates will say, are going to say, yes, we need to expand spending on the local school district.
Mm-hmm.
And then neither of them do it.
Yeah.
It's just lip service.
Why are you lying? And why does this continue to happen? Like you just said, we all know they lie all the time. Well, shouldn't a congressman or a senator, shouldn't they be like held up to such a standard that if you ever bend the truth, you know, you're out or whatever. You get, mm-hmm, fired, you get, mm-hmm, fined, you do this, you do that. But no, it's just like, nah, it's just kind of how it is now. I think that's the bigger story here is like, we're just okay with it.
It's kind of like, yeah, like if your pastor got up there or your preacher and just started, mm-hmm, preaching lies,
yeah,
you would be like, what? I'm not going to this church. He's full of crap.
Yeah, we're not. But then we're instead, not donating anymore. Yeah.
I don't even know if that's a comparable. But no, it's I just a great feel
comparison.
Like, why? Yeah, I don't know. It is. I don't know where it started.
I think it happens. I think it literally happens across the board. And we're going to talk about politicians today, but I think it happens across the board in so many professions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
what would be another top one then, just so that I can think about it?
Let's say, here's a small example. So the other day I go and get my truck worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm dealing with this car dealership. We all know how
snaky
the majority, again,
the perception is
of anyway. Car salesmen, yeah, uh-huh, are. So if you're going to try to buy something and you walk out of there and you got bent over,
mm-hmm,
but I'm there for service. So I'm there to get something done on my truck. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is a new truck. It's under warranty. Like, here's all the things I want you guys to do, you know, service it, blah, blah, blah. And the dude's like, yeah, yeah, we'll do all that. No problem. So then they do the work. I wait. He brings me my keys. And I'm like, hey, did you take care of this particular thing I was telling you about? Because I'm, you know, that was really important to me. Oh, yeah. Yep. We got it. You know, it's all covered. No problem. So then I take the truck home. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to look.
Just check it out.
I get I'm under it myself. I go and look. Clearly, they had not done it. Like, there was no arguing. They had not done it.
Yeah.
And I call the dude, and I'm like, yo, this is what you told me.
You lied.
And you clearly didn't do it.
Do you think you're a congressman? What's going on here?
Yeah. He goes, well, all I can do is just relay the messages that are given to me. My shop said it was done, so I just told you it was done. I was like, dude, the buck stops with you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're talking about with politicians,
yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
Like, the buck stops with you. You're the one who's putting their neck out there, not these other guys that told you this stuff. Are you not verifying that all that's true?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's those kinds of things that continue to happen. Mm-hmm. It happens across the board with so many things.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes down to, what it really comes down to is just, like, integrity and spending the time to make sure that things are the way you say they are. The excuse of, well, I didn't know, that's what they told me. Like, that's the kind of shit that happens in politics, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you just reminded me of our president. Is he our president? Well, whatever. The whatever number of times Biden would say, like, well, they are not going to let me do that, or they won't like it if I say this. Who's they?
Yeah.
You know, you're on, you're giving a speech right now to us. We're not concerned about they or them. What? Just tell us what's going on. What are you thinking? Or what do you want to do? And like, he would hide behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say
hide behind
that? Yeah.
No, it's like they feel like that's okay. Like that's literally a legitimate excuse. Like, oh, it was out of my hands. I mean, I'm just telling you what I'm being told. Like, no. It's not out of your hands. You are the one that's in charge. Again, like I said, this is where the buck stops.
Yeah.
So you are the one who's responsible for this. Once you decided to take that management position, and essentially that political position, that top position where you're the representative.
And tell me one thing. You're telling me this one thing.
Then you are responsible for everything that comes out of your mouth and for everybody beneath you, I'll say, you know, I'll put in air quotes, that is doing all the things in your name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, it's like people working for us. Yeah. They're a representation of, you know, then. Yeah.
I mean, and then that was one of the most fascinating things that came out of this study was that in everyday life, you're not allowed to lie or be dishonest like that. Like, let's say you guys have an employee and the order is 50 shirts need to be printed by tomorrow morning. And they say, oh, yeah, got it done. You come in tomorrow morning. And they're not done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going to be some repercussions here.
Yeah.
The study goes into, well, everyone just kind of expects it and allows it with politicians. And my thought is, why?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is that acceptable to just allow our people that are supposed to be representing us to just outright lie and then for it to be okay? Like, it's so bizarre to me.
It is bizarre. I always, my head goes back to, like I said earlier, how did it start? I feel like it then has just grown and gotten bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But then how does one even end it? I don't know that lying ever ends, but how do we hold them accountable?
Well, I think it comes down to, and this is where I want to put some hope on this. And like, I kind of get into it and I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's fun. With the votes and the money. And if you want to see change, stop spending money here, stop spending money there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's companies, and we've seen it a lot recently where a company might have put out an ad campaign that wasn't appreciated by its base, its customer base.
True.
Okay, so they stop spending the money. Oh, wouldn't you know it, the company does a 180 and gets back to its core roots. And that's all that has to happen. Just enough people, your quiet majority will say, need to send a clear message. We're not going to put up with this anymore. And unfortunately, I think in the political world, you're stuck in a position where Ben was talking about, a little bit of apathy there. Like, well, both of them suck. I'm dealing with a douche and a turd sandwich here. I'm not going to vote for either. Right?
Yeah.
Well, then you got to boil it down to, I'm going to vote for the lesser evil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and with that vote, you're at least sending the message, I'm not going to put up with this much bullshit. I mean, and I don't want to put up with this much bullshit over here, but I can't go this
far. Right, this one's more. Yeah. And also to that point, Ben, you don't have to fill in all the bubbles.
Well, no, you don't.
You know, like yeah, you can go and pick what you want to pick, and if you don't mm-hmm. want to vote for something, then you just leave it empty, right?
Yeah, and there's another part to this study where they didn't take real world happenings, you know, whether it was Hunter Biden's laptop or Hunter Biden with all the hookers or whatever, you know, Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They made hypothetical scenarios. And even in these hypotheticals, Republicans would allow Republicans the benefit of the doubt or to slide or to fudge it. And Democrats would do the same for their party. So there's also this, I don't know, is that a type of tribalism?
Where it's kind of like a family.
Yeah, you'll let your kin get away with it, but you won't let the other side. It's like it divides people right there where, all right, well, I mean, he's doing that because of this. Like you're already, like you said, you're passing the buck.
Mm-hmm.
You're passing the buck. And that comes back to the individual where you need yourself to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. And we're just not doing that. Mm-hmm. We haven't done that for a long time.
Yeah, I think when I watched that video that you had played for us, one of the big things that I picked up from it was that there was like this, I mean, I call it groupthink. So like...
Ooh, the hive mind.
Yeah, like these... So you have the party. You have these group of people that are behind this mm-hmm. person. And they identify themselves with this person. So they're like... What that person does, that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So they then are more willing to let that person get away with things,
yeah,
and to lie about stuff, and to cheat, and to do whatever, because they're just like, no big deal, you know, like because that is them, like they've identified with it so strong that is them. And I just looked it up real quick because I mean, to me, in my mind, that's automatically what it is, but the definition. Or one of the definitions of groupthink is the practice of thinking or making decisions as a group in a way that discourages creativity or individual responsibility.
Ooh. There you go. You're passing the buck.
Yeah.
It's not me. It's my party.
Yeah. It's this groupthink. And it's not only that, it's they think like, oh, it's not me, it's my party. It's let's just kind of let that go away so nobody talks about it because it's my party and my party is me.
There's another fun politician word. I'm going to compartmentalize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put that in a box, put it over there.
So they're just more likely to let somebody get away with something rather than to hold them accountable to something. Because when people, and that's a weird thing about politics, or one of the things about politics is when people get behind somebody or get behind a cause or whatever, they dig their heels in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they are all in, they are committed. So then when that movement or the people who are in charge of that movement do something really stupid,
we got to figure out a way to justify it.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
So if they were to just acknowledge it, it would make their whole cause look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the what would you call it? The
protecting your ego?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Yeah. But it's like the psychology or the sociology behind it.
And you also have another force coming in, and I'm so happy that it's getting loosened up a little bit. You got this underlying like rule, don't talk politics. Don't talk politics at the dinner table. Don't talk politics at vacation when we're with our cousins or blah, blah, blah. No, open it up. Let's talk about it. Like, don't you think that was pretty wild what Donald Trump did? Don't you think that was pretty wild what Joe Biden did here or there? You know, I mean, those steps are tricky. You know, did you see that? You know, like it's okay to have the conversation. And if you can't have the conversation, well, then grow up. I mean, figure it out. I mean, I really feel that way.
Like, I mean,
knock it off.
Yeah.
You're obviously insecure over your convictions then. So maybe you need to look at that.
I honestly think it's like if you have like a drunk cousin in the family, we're probably going to defend that guy. Like, or if it's your brother, we're not going to out him. Like, we're going to make excuses for him. And then maybe eventually, like, it's literally like a mob family. You identify, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you know what I mean? You're that group. And you are so strong in it, and yeah. It doesn't really matter what they do.
I love the drunk uncles. I mean, you're going to hear some fun stuff.
I'm just saying, like, it just reminds me of some crazy, I don't know, families out right? there that just want to defend their own.
Yeah.
No yep. matter what.
Well, that is, and that's what, like I said, that's when people just start digging their heels in, and that people need to realize, like, how dangerous that groupthink mentality is.
It's an yeah. echo chamber yeah. to where, yeah. like, and that's where I, yeah, and it breeds a lot of, not insecurity, but untrust, where you can clearly see, if just put yourself, the election of 2016, if you're in the Democratic echo chamber, hardcore, you know, the whole nine yards, there's no way you could believe anyone could ever vote for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward 4 years later, if you're in the Donald Trump hardcore echo chamber, you know, MAGA, the whole nine yards, there's no way you could see somebody voting for the other guy. There's no way. Mm-hmm. No way a sane right. person could do mm-hmm. that. Yeah. So on both sides, over the last two elections, you could see where if you get in that echo chamber, that hive mind,
mm-hmm.
You're just going to have so much distrust in your government and your politicians and everything else. So, like, I do have a lot of sympathy, and I get it, where it's like, well, duh, of course. Of course we're going to allow lying, because we don't even know where this starts or where it begins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it just reel it in, and like what you're talking about, boil it down to the day-to-day stuff, right?
Well, I think it goes back to, you've said this before, where you like to listen to both sides, so then you can form your own opinion.
That's why we got to talk about it, right?
Listen, yeah,
let
listening
the drunk uncle have his time.
One social media side compared to the other. Like, let's kind of listen to it all.
Yeah.
Form our own opinions, not do this whole group thing. But yeah, then to your point, Andy, talk about it. It's just such a hot topic.
Attempt to let the drunk uncle speak his piece about lizard people. Hear him out. Just do it. Just do it. You might learn something. And it's fun. We have one of my favorite uncles ever. You get him going during deer season, you'll hear the same story about four times within an hour and a half. And each time, little things change.
Right. But so it's like a little yeah, fabrication, the, like a little lie.
Well, I don't
on
know.
On top of another lie.
But you're picking up on the bullet points like, okay, that probably did happen.
You love sports. I'm just playing, but and it's you know fun, what? You know? This topic kind of made me think of how dramatic professional soccer players get when they get taken down, God. And they're such liars. They're like, yeah. oh, yeah. and grab their ankle, and it's like, oh, like yeah. they're dying.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie. Get the frick up off the ground. Why does that acting happen in that sport? It's so annoying
to
me.
Gets rewarded. Just like politicians, right. they get rewarded.
So
they get elected.
Yep. That's what made me think of it, is it happens in every realm, but people get away with it and they don't get called on it.
But here you go. Here's my hope. We're already seeing rules, especially in basketball, thanks to LeBron James flopping all the time. Thank you, LeBron. Really moving the sport forward by flopping, faking an injury, faking a foul.
Okay, so he does it too. Yes.
Oh, he's great at it, which he's like 40 now, so good. But he's been doing it for a while. But now you're seeing rules come into play where you're penalized for faking
they have that in basketball?
Yes. Oh. So, I mean, just...
Okay.
People just doing the right thing, like calling it out, like, man, you're flopping. You got a warning here. The next time you do it, it's a one-on-one or two free throw attempts, and the opposition, the other team, gets the ball out of bounds. So you're already seeing, you know, that counter reaction of people just, once again, we'll go back to the quiet majority, like, that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't get fouled. He just flopped. He just felt, and soccer's the worst.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I just... And, man, you see the side-by-sides where the women's soccer, they're just playing through all that contact and, you know, yep. elbows to the face, but they're not even skipping a beat. And then the men, even your best guys world international, are faking these.
They're awarded with a yellow card if they sold it. And until it changes.
And for too long, it was like, well, that's just smart. Like, you know, like kickers in football, well, that's smart. You got to sell it. You guys. Fuck that.
You know? It's smart, but you look like a pansy.
Yeah, exactly. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for what's right. You know,
exactly.
You're cheating to win. And
right.
then you got a certain side. Yeah, but that's not how the majority thinks or sees, especially if you don't have a dog in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can just step back and say, like, I'm going to have this conversation. I'm just going to, whatever, be a fly on the wall. I'm not going to be a Republican or a Democrat. I just want to be part of this conversation. Take yourself out of it
mm-hmm.
and just listen. Could mm-hmm. you do that? You know?
That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, when we boil this down to the whole two-party system that we have, is that it by design, it puts people in a camp, mm-hmm. and then now you're part of that camp. Like, you need to be on board with everything that camp does. Like, if you need to be a good soldier. You know what I mean?
But isn't that kind of a farce? No, you don't. You should be part of this, quote-unquote, right way, or what your ideals are.
I 100% agree with what you're saying, but I think what the reality is and what happens is that groupthink comes along, and now you need to be a part of this group. You need to be a good soldier. You need to tote the line.
Mm.
You need to react to and talk about all of the topics the way that we tell you that we stand for those topics.
Yeah.
And this is the things that kind of, this is how these things progress.
And then is it a shame thing if you don't?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you get ostracized.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of that going on, to your point.
Yep.
But there's also a lot of the other side going on. Let's take J.D. Vance, the VP nominee.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He hated Trump. Hated him. He went along with all the other
winos. We talked about that. We were like.
But now he's like, you know what? I don't know if he took the lesser of two evils or... You know what? Maybe my party could be updated on this or that or change a little bit here or there.
Or he just wanted to be vice president?
Or he's just lying like this study said.
I mean, who knows?
I mean, what if he, and maybe he's done this, and I haven't seen it, but what if he were to come out and have an interview and they sit down and they literally go, why? Okay, so you were talking all this mad trash early on, and then you had this big flip. Let's talk about what actually happened and why.
See, and right there, you're villainizing him and even giving it a name of flipping. You're terrible, you're bad. A flipper. Isn't that just like you're evolving? You're having a better thought?
I also think that's...
It should happen.
So like the word flip, like that's just what they've put that connotation to it. Like to me, it just means you switch. So just use whatever term you want to use.
Sure.
So you had this change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Does that go.
Feel better?
Oh, that's so cute. Right.
You re-edumacated yourself.
Yeah. So we're just using words to make people feel better.
Uh-huh.
So you were talking all this mad trash. You had this change of heart. Where did this change of heart come from? And if he was honest about it, and if he literally was like, man, you know, like this is what I saw the guy. This is what I thought. These were the reasons why. And then as I got to know him better and I got to know all the things that were happening and what he stood for and actually this aligned more with me than I thought, you know, and then, okay, I came around. Like, we've talked about this before. We talked about this, was it last week when we talked about the assassination attempt?
Over what?
The Trump assassination attempt. Was that last week's?
Yeah.
So we talked about this last week where I said if you take two people who really hate each other, you know, we were talking about the shooter and we were talking about Trump.
And they met.
And we were talking about the gentleman, Corey, who had got killed. His life got taken. If these people all just sat in the same room together and chatted with each other, they would be like, this is a pretty good person.
Yeah.
Actually, like, I can help this guy out or I want to help this guy out or whatever. Yeah. You know, like, this is the kind of things that happen when people talk.
Right,
face to face,
exactly.
And they get to know each other.
And that's all I'm saying. Like, just have the conversation.
Yeah,
just do it. See what happens. You know.
Yeah, that interview, like that hypothetical interview, would never happen. But I think it would be so good. It could be like a turning point for these politicians.
As long as he wasn't lying the whole time,
right?
But then people are going to be like, "Oh, he's full of it."
Well,
I mean, so then,
how do you know? At least he's saying it, you know. But,
yeah.
I didn't know a lot about the guy, but a video cropped up. Interview of him 7 years ago when he was releasing his book that got turned into a movie. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh. Who's this?
Is J.D. Vance?
No.
Oh, man.
No.
But I feel like your mom was saying something about that.
Yeah, it's a story about a white trash family, and it's a hell of a movie.
They said it was based on his life because he was grown up poor, and he was
over in West Virginia.
In the Appalachian Mountains or something?
Yep, and then he moved to Ohio in the Rust Belt, and that was just as bad or whatever. God dang it. But then I'm looking at that. I'm like, okay, this guy's an excellent storyteller. He wrote this book that turned into this movie. That makes a lot of sense for him to be paired up with Donald Trump, another showman. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I saw those parallels there. And I mean, you got to do a lot of self-reflection if you're going to kind of put your life out there like that and how shitty it was. And what's that news organization's with Ben Shapiro?
I don't know.
The Wire. Is that The Wire? The Daily Wire. They're big on that movie, and they thought it should have been bigger, but it wasn't because it was telling this narrative of poor white people. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want to hear that. Like, that's not true. There aren't struggling white people out there.
Oh, yeah.
There's
no such thing. Not.
And, you know, the yes, there is.
Right. And he's basically saying, I was that.
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to look that up right
now. Well, and a lot of, you'll get a lot of that from national politicians, too. Like, I came. Did any of them?
Hillbilly Ilgy.
I don't know what the hell that word is. See, L-G-Y? I can't even pronounce it. I'm like,
Like ugly, but with a
E-L-U
or with an E?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, it's a dogs are barking.
Memoir of a Family and Culture Crisis by J.D. Vance about the Appalachian values of his Kentucky family. Yeah. Hillbilly Ilgy. Ilgy?
So it says the definition is a poem of serious reflection, typically a lament for the dead.
Hmm. Yeah, I just saw a couple of trailers of it years ago when it came out, and it just looked like white trash bickering with each other, you know, in crappy cars and stuff like that.
Yeah. Huh. Well, what I was going to say was, are there any national politicians who have, like, come to the scene and said, I came from a bunch of money. I'm
probably not.
My parent, like, I was super rich all the time. I got all this stuff. Well, but, and now I want to be your XYZ politician.
I feel like I felt the and I don't know, I'm not a historian or a politician or anything, but didn't the Kennedys, when it got to like the second wave, they're like, yeah, we're rich and we freaking love it. But, you know, my dad was a bootlegger and this and that, you know, so I think there's, it gets to a point where you got to own it, right?
Well, it seems like everybody nowadays, and I think they're trying to get to, you know, they're trying to relate to whatever their base is, you know, and get those votes and all those things.
Sure.
But they're all just like, I came from nothing. My life was so hard.
Right.
You know.
They like, have to paint that picture.
But my parents were really good people, and they worked hard, and they just tried to make their way, and we didn't have anything, but they took care of me and my sister, and, you know, like, that's always the story, right?
It is, to a certain extent, you know, and it is, and once again, it's storytelling, you know?
Like, right.
Yeah. I think everyone kind of gets that, too, but I'm okay to let that slide, where, but, like, when George W. Bush wants to tell me how tough it was for him to grow up. You know,
probably not.
That struggle's a little bit different than the struggle of the people that J.D. Vance is talking about here.
Yeah. So how do we wrap this one up with the put a bow on it? I mean, I don't see an end to this coming. I mean, I would love to say someone has to pioneer this and
becoming
truthful. Yeah, exactly. But it is hilarious to watch. It's, that YouTube and to talk about because everyone knows they lie.
It's just ridiculous that five scholars came together, University of Minnesota, Allison Williams, she has a PhD out of UC Irvine, USC. Yeah, she helped out writing this thing. You know, and it's like, well, duh.
They threw a bunch of money at this to write that politicians lie.
Right, and we all know they lied to better their careers, to advance, to get votes, to come across in a positive light. But your solution, to your point, is a very simple one. People stand up for what they believe in. That's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, you will weed out these liars. Like, it's really simple. It's going to take a long time. We're in a bad spot, you could say. But I think we're in a much better spot than what we're being told. Like, these elections happen every 4 years, every 2 years on some things. Start at your local level.
Right.
Get the crooks out, get the liars out, and just keep sending that message.
Yeah, and I think, you know, part of the moral to the story is just realizing what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So don't fool yourself, you know, into believing that, oh, this is all good, this is all truth, this is all, you know, I need to be behind this person, you know, whatever, I need to stand my ground, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, have that open mind, have, like, some critical thinking skills.
There you go.
To sit there and listen to what these people are saying and make an educated decision on, is that truth or is that not? And if it feels like it's not, why? You know, and then spend some time and figure that out.
You're exactly right. And to piggyback on that and take it a step further, unfortunately, on a lot of our social media platforms, and I don't care if you're on Truth Social, Donald Trump's thing, or you're on Facebook, Meta, whatever, when a video comes across your scroll and then it comes back or whatever, somebody wants you to see that. So who's wants you to see that and why?
Who's just pushing just it?
Start with that thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is this video in front of me, and who wants me to see it, and what do they want me to get out of it? What do they want me to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, with this information that they're so desperate for me to consume right now?
Right.
Like just clickbait, yeah, like well, they want you to buy it, something. Like, okay.
I just feel like we're at a time now where you should be, like you said, use a little critical thinking when when something comes up, story comes up, whatever. Why is that being put in front
of me? I think that's a huge point, and I'm glad you brought that up because that reminds me of something that like I always try to do when I'm listening to things. I think less about, you know, is this fact, is this not, you know, whatever. I think more about the word that I use in my mind is intent. So what is the intent behind what this person is saying?
Mm-hmm.
What is the intent behind putting this video in front of me 3 or 4 times a day?
Yeah.
So then once I realize what their intent is, what they're trying to get me to do, what mm-hmm. they're trying to get me to feel, what they're trying to get me to think,
mm-hmm.
then I realize, okay, what they want me to do is not the thing to do 9 times out of 10.
Sure. Probably, yeah.
So then I look at it from that perspective. You know what I mean? So I think if you can really dig into what the person's intent is, and if you go back to politicians, if you can truly decipher what that politician's intent is,
mm-hmm.
no matter what they do, if they if they made a mistake, if they told a lie but they came back on it and made it right, if they did something good, if they did something bad, whatever,
mm-hmm.
if you know for a fact what that person's intent is in the end,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, then I think you can make a better decision on that particular individual.
Yeah. A lot of times, that's an excellent way to go into it. And a lot of times with these politicians where it is different than everyday life, They'll vote one way on a certain topic or an issue, and you're like, I can't believe that. That's against what everything he's ever said. Well, that's a deal that he made with his colleagues. Look, I'll give you this vote if you give me that one.
Yeah.
So which one's more important? Like, just have that perspective. Do a little bit of homework and understand why he or she may have done that. You know, you got to go a little bit further than the 15-second clip on Twitter mm-hmm. or X. It's mm-hmm. X now.
And most of the time, it boils back to money.
Well, that's what I was about to say next. Topic. So when you dial in that intent, if in that intent shows up money or power, that's what they're trying to achieve, that like it's pretty obvious because they're going to hide that. They're not going to be like, oh, I'm doing this because I want to make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Or I'm doing this because I want to be in charge.
That's what we should do.
Like that's
we
not,
should just come out.
They're not going to come out with that, right?
No, we are.
just say it.
Yeah. Once you figure that out, and if one of those two things shows up, run for the hills.
There you
dude.
Go. Yep. Yeah. And yeah.
And it goes back. It goes
you
back.
You don't even have to do anything. You just got to turn it off.
It goes back to that saying of, let's see if I can get this right. Those who want power don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Those who deserve power don't want it.
Yeah. There you go.
And when you think about it like that, you start realizing okay. But like the ones that do the best job are the ones that didn't want that position.
Right, exactly.
They just kind of got, not that they got forced into it, but they got put into a situation where they're like, okay, I need to do this because it's the right thing to do. I don't want to, but I need to.
Yep, I have a really good friend of mine who took on a head coaching job in football, and he's a very smart, he's a hell of a player himself, and he didn't want to be a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But the other head coach left, this or that, and everybody, I mean parents, the community, all of his fellow teachers, like, dude, you got to be the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took it on. He's mm-hmm. been there about 3 or 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And everybody loves him, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
So.
But that
his
wasn't.
His intent was in the right place.
Yep, exactly.
You know?
So, let's thank old Pierce D. Ekstrom, PhD at the University of Nebraska, and all of his colleagues for letting us know that politicians lie. They have a case study that proves it.
That probably only cost the university and the state about $500,000 in research.
That's okay.
Gotta love that. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
So. Appreciate you guys making it clear for us.
Yeah, we definitely needed another topic, so we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
And it didn't come out of our pocket, so.
Here we go.
Yeah. Lastly, we're coming to the end of the fundraising run for Morgan on the 50 Mile March.
Yes, so we are.
The folks, we've talked about this before, so anybody who's interested in helping support that, we need donations to Team Common Folk. Probably the best way to go about it is if you have Instagram, look up Common Folk, find the Common Folk podcast on Instagram. You'll see our thumbnail in the link, you know, in our bio.
Mm-hmm.
That takes you to the donation page.
Yeah.
That's where the money's coming in.
It's going to the 50 mile. I think it's on Farm Focus too, isn't it?
On the Farm Focused website, on the home page, there's like a header, and that header is like pictures, and those pictures will switch, mm-hmm. and it'll switch to one that shows the 50 mile march, and then I think there's a click there too can go to.
So yeah.
Farm Focused, FOCUSED.
I'm looking at the date, you guys. I will literally be walking in a month.
All right.
Yeah,
okay. It's coming up. 50 miles. It is.
Coming up.
Sooner than later.
That's crazy.
We've had a number of folks, and we should look some up that would be willing to let us shout out their name.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Maybe on the next episode, talk about that and thank those folks, because there's been a number of like really significant donations.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them for sure that I know wouldn't want us to do this, but wouldn't be mad for us for bringing up their name. You know, they're not going to be mad at us.
Mm-hmm.
Is our buddies over at Round the Bend Steakhouse.
All right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
TJ and Tiff, they came in, donated a significant amount of money. They haven't even told us about it. Like, they just did it.
No, they're awesome.
Like, they didn't call and was like, hey, we're going to do this or anything. Because like, it just showed up in Morgan
email.
Saw
I'm like, oh, my gosh.
So we're like, dude, they came in. That's awesome. You know, they're supporting. That's a great family-owned, family-run business right here in eastern Nebraska, around the Bend Steakhouse, RTB Nation on social media. Check them out.
Home of the Testicle Festival.
That's right. That's right. We've had them on the podcast early on. Mm-hmm. We'll have them back. They're super cool folks, but we appreciate them.
Yeah. I ran into them at a professional volleyball game in Omaha.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're just like not quite courtside, but they're a few rows up. I'm like, that's TJ and Tiff.
I think their daughter really likes volleyball. Yeah.
Hey, but like you said, they're just awesome people, and you wouldn't be surprised if it was TJ or Tiff or which one made the donation or had, you know, spirit it. You wouldn't be surprised either way.
Yeah.
Solid
good,
folks.
Good people. Yep. So, yeah. Or if you have any questions about it, send them. Send them to ben@farmfocus.com, or you can change that to Morgan.
There we go.
And don't forget, on the Farm Focused website, use the code COMMONFOLK, F-O-L-K. You get 20% off of anything.
Wow.
Are you guys good at saying folk? Or folk.
I usually say folk, but I try to pronounce
it
that way so that people can understand the spelling.
Okay, good. Because I thought maybe I was saying our name wrong this whole time.
Yeah, people are trying to like stamp out my... you know, my draw or whatever it is.
Bonk.
Well, you know, like there's just a few words like crick or creek.
Yes.
Creek is the right way to say it. I get it, but it's a crick. I grew up on a crick.
Okay.
So yeah.
Well, when Ben said it like that, I'm like, ooh, I've just been saying common folk, but it's folk. Okay.
Folk song.
Anyhow.
Folk is the folk is the better way to go about it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
That's that.
All I got.
All right.
You guys got anything else?
Mm-mm.
Nope. Drinking right. time.
Later.
Close it out. Maybe pay attention to your politicians.
There you go.
Peace. All right. Later.